Hello, church. Well, I want to start by sharing with you a story that I read about a month ago that I think captures a feeling that a lot of people have been experiencing over the last several months. The story is about a 64-year-old French man who's an executive at a military manufacturing company. And several of his colleagues decided they wanted to go in together to surprise him with an experience that he had never had before. The experience was to ride on a French fighter jet that could reach top speeds of up to 870 miles per hour. And they surprised him, all right. It was a huge surprise. In fact, it was a terrifying surprise. He had never experienced anything like this. He'd never served in the military. And normally, if someone were going to get on a ride like this, then the military would require them 10 days out to go through various medical tests, and they would go through safety procedures and protocols. It was a lot longer ordeal, but the military decided that they would go along with the surprise. And so the friends took the man to the airfield, and he was not only surprised, he was beside himself with fear. Now, he didn't want to say that to them. He wanted to seem grateful for the experience they were giving. He wanted to go along with what they had set up. It was only after the fact that, looking back, people could see, because he had a smartwatch that would measure his heart rate, that as he sat in the cockpit getting ready for the flight to take off, his heart was racing at about 136 to 142 beats per minute, just staying at that rate over and over. Here's a picture of the man sitting in the cockpit before he was ready to take off, and you'll see why his face is blurred in just a moment. And here's a brief video of one of these fighter jets taking off. Now, that video I just showed you was only 30 seconds. All of that intense action in just 30 seconds. But that's all it took for this executive. Because when the pilot reached 2,500 feet, he began a very rapid, steep ascent. And the passenger started to panic. And then he began some maneuvers the pilot did, and as he did, the man realized that his seatbelt wasn't on quite as tight as it needed to be, so he actually started to float out of his seat just a bit. And as he did, he began to reach for anything to give him a feeling of stability, and the thing that he grabbed onto was the ejector seat button. And that 64-year-old was shot out of the back of the plane. There he is in the top right corner of your screen, and you see the jet in the bottom left corner of your screen. And in this next picture, you see the man is nearing the ground. Now, I feel like I need to tell you that both the pilot and the passenger were okay. They were treated for some minor scrapes and injuries, but they're okay. But the reason that story really resonated with me is because I think it is an apt metaphor for the ways that a lot of people have been feeling during this pandemic. I didn't ask to go on this ride. I don't want to be on this ride. When is this ride going to end? There are those times for most of us when we look back at what's come before us, or we look around at everything that's happening, or we look ahead to the future and an uncertain future, and our hearts start to race and our minds start to race and our pulse is quickening and the anxiety is rising, and it sure would be nice if we could find some way to hit the ejector button out of this thing. I've been planning all along during this series at some point to talk about how we deal with our anxiety and our fear and our worry. And the fact is, Scripture has a lot to say about those things. So I think about the Old Testament book of Lamentations. It's written about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, and the content of the book is exactly what you would expect for a book named Lamentations. And the prophet is speaking on behalf of the people, lamenting what's happening. And at one point, this is what he says. They threw me into a pit and dropped stones on me. The water rose over my head and I cried out, "This is the end." But I called on your name, Lord, from deep within the pit. You heard me when I cried. Listen to my pleading. Hear my cry for help. Yes, you came when I called. You told me, do not fear. Do not fear. Don't give in to fear. Don't be overcome by fear. Even when you feel it, and you will feel it sometimes, it's a human experience. But don't be controlled by it. Peter gives a similar, if not simpler, instruction when he says this: give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Jesus comes at the conversation from a different angle when he says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, wise actions can add time to your life, or at least help protect your life, which is important to remember right now. But worry alone is a thief of life. It is not a giver of life. I like what Irma Bombeck wrote. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. Like I said, we will all have worries. We will all have fears. We will all have anxieties sometimes, which is why it's important to talk about how do we deal with those? How do we approach those? How do we manage those where we face our fears through faith? Which is why I've anticipated talking about this throughout this whole series. But some things have happened over the course of this series, which has made me think that maybe we needed to add something to that conversation. Because this phrase and this idea, facing our fears through faith, it has been used a lot in all sorts of places, through all sorts of churches and pulpits, and used in some really constructive ways. But I've also started to hear it be abused in some really destructive ways. So I can't help but notice sometimes when I go out into public, or when I see some of the headlines and stories on the news, that there are people who are going out in the name of conquering their fear through faith. And they do that in some ways that are not just confident, which is really good, or can be really good, but in some ways that's really combative, in ways that are really confrontational, in ways that are really condescending to anyone who has a different amount of fear than they do, who's not approaching their worries in the same ways that they are. In fact, some of the most disturbing stories to me were stories that were coming out about churches a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, when every state had some sort of prohibition against large gatherings. And there were a few churches around the nation that continued to meet, and they would flaunt the orders of their state. And they would do it in the name of faith over fear. And they would gather hundreds of people together and continue to insist that they were going to live by faith instead of fear. Now again, these were times when the states were prohibiting these gatherings. And I don't want to show you those headlines or mention those churches by name, because in my opinion, they got far more attention than I would have preferred in the first place. But here was my concern. My concern was they were becoming a major voice representing Christianity and churches during that time. And my concern was, what does the average person in our nation who is not connected in any way to a church, what do they think when they see those stories of people who flaunt the rules and get together regardless of the consequences, not just for themselves, but then for others? Do they think, now that's an example of loving your neighbor as yourself? Or do they think, that sure seems like they're just looking out for self? Do they think, now that's an example of the golden rule, do for others as you would have them do for you? Or do they think, that just looks like people who just want to do what they want to do? Do they think, now that's an example of selfless living? Or do they think, that sure seems kind of selfish to me? I couldn't help but think, as I saw those stories and read those stories about the passage from 1 Corinthians 13 that we spent so much time on in the months leading up to this pandemic, before the pandemic started. A passage that reminds us that everything we do has to come from a place of love and express the love of God in how we do it. So I've actually asked the Searcy family if they would read a couple of the passages from 1 Corinthians that we looked at a few months ago before this started.
Hey church, this is the Searcy family. We're going to read a couple of scriptures for you. We really miss you guys.
I love you.
The first one comes from 1 Corinthians 10:23-24. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others.
And 1 Corinthians 13:2-3. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing.
Thanks. We love you guys.
Bye. I love you.
Facing our fears through faith is critical right now. And you could argue that facing our fears through faith will be even more important in the coming weeks and months and years as we try to pick up the pieces individually, as families, as a church family, as a nation. But here's what Paul would remind us. Courageous faith accomplishes nothing if we abandon love. And courageous faith means nothing. If we lose sight of love in how we treat one another during this time, in how we treat one another as our worries and fears manifest themselves in different ways, what is it that we're reminded of during this Memorial Day weekend? We remember those who gave their lives in service to our country. And what we see through those examples is that true courage is inherently selfless, not selfish. That's why I'm excited to announce a new initiative we're calling CVC Cares. We all know how devastating this time has been for countless people in our community. So besides the health threat of COVID-19, we know there are so many people who are hurting, who've been impacted financially, they've been impacted through their jobs, they've been impacted relationally, they've been impacted spiritually and their mental health. And so we want to do something about that. And I know personally that we have a lot of individuals and families within our church who have already been giving and serving sacrificially. I know life groups who've collected money and they've provided food for first responders. I know a lot of activities have already been happening, and I am thankful for that, and I'm proud of everyone who's been doing that. And as a church and among the leaders of the church, we want to build on that. We want to expand that so that more within the church can join in efforts like that to make a difference in the community. And so that's where our CBC Cares initiative comes in. What the leaders of the church have decided is that they will give every life group and also the youth group and the children's ministry $1,000 to use that money in a way that they decide to be a blessing in the lives of our community. And so we're going to give that money to groups so that they can pray about and plan ways that they can do good works and show the love of Jesus to others around them. Now, this is a good time to mention that in our congregational survey, we had several folks who indicated that they're not a part of a life group at the moment, but they would like to learn more. And if you fall into that category, would you help us out? You can email the church office, office@chenalvalleychurch.org. Email us and we'll be happy to get you connected. And in our plan then with CVC Cares is that in the coming weeks and months, every Sunday, a different life group will report, will share how God has used them and used that money to be a blessing in the community. Now, this is also a good time to tell you that we know that it's not just people out in the community that have been impacted. We know we have members who have been impacted as well. And if that's you, we want you to know that we have a different set of funds set aside specifically to help our own members. And so if you find that you're struggling, if you're in need of help, you do not have to struggle alone. You do not have to go through this alone. We are here as a church to help you, to walk with you, to do whatever we can to support you during this time. And my hope is that through faith and through courage, but also through love, we will be here for one another to support each other during this time. My hope is for all of us that we will learn to face our fears through faith, to not be overcome with worry. But I also know that the different worries we face and the ways that we experience fear is going to be different for every one of us. And here's one thing that is certain. We will not measure the level of someone's faith based on whether they return to a worship service at the building the first Sunday we get back together. There are a lot of factors that go into deciding when people come back and when they don't. And our congregational survey reveals to us that more of our members will not be here the first Sunday we resume worshiping together as a church. And that is more than okay. Because here's what we ultimately remember. We will still be the body of Christ together. We will still be bound together in love and in purpose, both for those who are worshiping at the building and those who continue to worship at home. We will still need you, and we will still be there for you. Here, in the end, is our true test of courage, that we are heroic in helping, that we are courageous in compassion, that we are fearless in love, wherever that may be. We're going to conclude now with an update from one of our leaders, Craig Lair, and then Eddie Creighton will close the video in prayer.
So this morning I was missing church. I was missing the welcome committee, I was missing class, missing all of you, missing all the babies that sit in this section. I was missing praise team and Buddy and Jeff Hankins fighting about what key or rhythm the song should be sung in. I was missing corny jokes from JJ. And as a group, the elders have been meeting every week, and we've decided to resume church June 14th in this building. So we ask all of you, we read all of your comments, and we know some of you were ready and thought we should never have stopped at all. We know some of you won't be here for weeks or months, and we understand that. Most of you are not ready, but we picked June 14th as a day to start gradually reopening. It'll be a different service. It'll be different than what you expected before, and we will be weeks or not months till we're back to normal, if you will. Church will be different. We are going to start live streaming. We're going to start that before June 14th, and hopefully by June 14th, we're going to have a synchronized process where the service here matches at what you could see at home. Because we don't want anybody with a compromised immunity system or older member that feels vulnerable to come to church too early. Churches, in some cases, have been responsible for large outbreaks, and we do not want that to happen here. So we're going to be safe, we're going to follow the state guidelines, and we hope to see you here, or back there, June 14th, if you're able.
Good morning, Chenal Valley Church. It's good to be with you again this morning, and no, I'll not be singing. However, I did enjoy the opportunity to sing a few old Gaither songs for you. I was especially pleased to see the young people in our church that stepped up and volunteered their talent to help with these online services. I'd like to read a scripture for you this morning before we pray. And I'm be reading from 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 12 from the Common English Bible. Dear friends, let us love each other, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only Son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we also ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God remains in us, and His love is made complete in us. Would you pray with me? Father, we praise You this morning as Creator. We thank You that You loved us first and that You sent Your Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. We come to You also this morning, Father, with a lot of issues. This old coronavirus has hit us hard. So we pray this morning, Father, for our leaders. We pray for our president. We pray for our governor. We pray for all the frontline workers that have been dealing with the coronavirus. Father, we know that our services here at Chennault are not normal, but we know that You meet us where we are. So we thank You for our church leaders. Thank You for Bert, who's put together a good lesson online each Sunday. We thank You for Jennifer, who's staying in touch with our children and what she does. We thank You for Bryce, who fills in for Bert and works with our young people. Father, there are a lot of people behind the scene that have helped with the online service, and we're thankful for them too, the ones that do lighting and sound and all the technical work. We pray for every Chennault Valley member. And Father, we know that many of them are going through hard times. Some have lost their jobs. Some of them have lost their businesses. Some people are lonely at this time. Some people are discouraged. And some people have no close family here in Little Rock with them. So help us love and care for each other as You have asked us to. Give us wisdom, Lord, and keep us safe. And we love You in the name of Jesus. Amen.